I've had my daughter come back to me after track saying, you treat me one way when I play well, but you treat me a different way when I don't do well.
Wow.
And almost like you're anticipating that car ride home. They know if they played well or not, but anticipating that car ride home, what mom and dad are going to say based on my performance. And then again, that ties in, I'm treated a certain way based upon how I perform. And that's what us as parents are teaching our children, that your value is on how you perform when we respond that way.
So it's a performance-based relationship.
Yes.
Welcome to Unstoppable. Are you tired of inspiration and ready for action? Are you ready to study the process of success? My name is Ralph Graves Jr. And on this show, we will hear stories of amazing people who are not just dreaming, they are actually living the life they want. Now, if you're ready to start moving toward the dreams you know you can reach, you are in the right place. This is Unstoppable with Ralph Graves Jr.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast today. Like the intro said, my name is Ralph Graves Jr. and this is the Unstoppable Podcast. Thank you for checking us out. Now, my guest today is an author. She wrote a book that we're going to talk about for teens. It's been life-changing. I'm just so happy to have her on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, none other than Tanya Mae Avant. How are you?
I am well, Pastor Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for making the time.
Good to see you. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You know, I'm blessed, and I might as well just say it at the outset of the program, been knowing each other all of our lives.
Since I can remember. Since I can remember on the Sunday school choir at Mount Olive.
That's right. Well, yes. That's right. Your dad was our director.
Yes.
You know, affectionately called him Uncle Tommy.
Uncle Tommy, yes.
But we have grown now, and mm-hmm. God has blessed us, and you have done some amazing things, and that's what we're here to talk about today. I really want my audience to get to know you. I want my audience to find out what this book is all about.
Yes.
Talk to me about your book, God's Playbook for the Game of Life.
Using God's Playbook for the Game of Life. So I'll start off by saying, mom of two girls. Right now, daughters are 16 and 19. And you know, because I know you played sports growing up as well, but I'm a sports mom.
Yes.
And almost to the point that we see it a lot in society, that we kind of live through our children. And for me, I was one of those moms who was yelling all the time and just kind of taking the joy away from my kids in sports. Also making sports a god for our family, because my daughters they're very talented. And, you know, we have dreams of Olympics and things like that.
Yeah.
And so my oldest daughter, Kennedy, she's a track runner. And when she turned 14, she experienced an injury that kept her from ever running again.
Mm.
She tore a PCL while long jumping, qualifying for Junior Olympics. And it was devastating. But this, I'm thankful. You know, we say on the other side, we never know in the midst of it. But realizing after she injured herself and going through identity issues, because sports was her identity, realizing that I didn't give her that spiritual foundation in the Word of God to be able for her to stand. So she struggled with depression. She struggled with suicidal thoughts. She struggled with so much after this injury, which led me to say, God, I have to help my child. I've got to figure this out. Not only because of now, but she's going to leave my house one day.
Yeah.
And she's going to have some challenges. And I need her to have a spiritual foundation in your Word and who you are, so that when she faces these things outside of my home, she knows how to respond. Because while she's in my house, she's leaning on me. I'm walking her through based on my faith, but I needed to build her faith up so that she could do it on her own. And that was the premise of the book. 2 years at my dining room table, scouring through the Word of God, like, God, what is it? What should be the foundation that I leave for her? And I say the book is the result of me writing to my daughters, but I'm sharing it with youth all over, I'm saying the world. I'm so passionate about making sure our youth have this foundation, because even as adults, we struggle.
Yeah.
We struggle with so much. And a lot of times, if we know what the Word of God says, if we have that foundation, we can stand on His Word in those difficult times to get us through those situations that we're experiencing.
You know, I love the motivation behind the book. I mean, we have all been those parents. I remember when my son suffered he tore ACL, like his third or fourth knee surgery. It was over. I remember walking into the hospital room down at his college and saying, man, listen, you never have to do this again. But what we forget, and I even forgot that you've been doing this sport and your daughter
your
was doing
life.
It all her
yes.
whole life. And
your
like you life. Said, we think it's something they do, but even, you know, you and I are both former athletes. It's really an identity you take on.
Mm-hmm.
And although we try to equip them for everything, we never really tell them that one day it's going to be over. And what I had to really explain to a lot of the athletes that I have coached and people I talk to, that it ends bad for everybody. Everybody's
very few, right? Very
it's
few go
bad
out of
for everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whether you're 14 or 34, it mm-hmm. ends bad. It ends because you can't do it anymore.
Because you got some aches.
So for everybody. And so, mm-hmm. and what we failed to do, and you're absolutely right, man, we didn't equip them for that. And I think God really used you. Maverick, I know he really used you to go ahead and get this book out and to really minister to teens who are in it.
Yes.
And really identify. Now, just chapter one.
Uh-huh.
I'm a parent. Now, I know this is for teens, but I'm a parent and I need my teen. I know it's over for them. They don't know it's over for them. I know it's over for them. What do we do, Mom? How do we get them through this?
So chapter one, me again, foundation. I wanted to start from the beginning. So I walk through, who is God your father?
Yeah.
Who is his son, Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? And what role do each of them have in your lives? So
yeah.
I walked that God created you. He's the creator of earth, but he created you specifically, created you with a plan and purpose. He actually preordained good works for you to do in advance. So walking them through, you're not an accident. And whatever's going on right now, there's a plan in place. God
yeah.
has a plan and you can trust him. We talk about Jesus, how he has died. All of us, we sin. It's in our DNA. There's
sure.
nothing we can do about it.
Right.
But we have a Savior and a Redeemer who died on the cross. He sacrificed so that we could be free of that. But more importantly, we don't have to walk with the guilt and condemnation of the sin that we have done. We can ask for forgiveness, get back up, dust ourselves off, and
yeah.
keep moving. So it's really yeah. in Jesus, the freedom of his gift of salvation for you. And
then
the Holy Spirit is our helper. You
yeah.
know, walking through that,
yeah.
he is your helper. He is the truth. Throughout all the noise we have, throughout all you see in social media and all the gigabits and whatever the number is now of data that we have, especially our youth coming at them from every angle, they're getting information so much that their brains that are developing can't even handle it. But the Holy Spirit inside of you is that truth that can guide you. It's your guiding light through
yeah.
through your life.
Sure.
Then we talk about, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. Knitted in my mother's womb. So five verses about that. And the point of the devotional, there's 52 scriptures in it. Subtitle is 52 scriptures your child should know before sending them off in the world, or your athlete should know before sending them off in the world.
Okay.
And I did it intentionally. Each scripture has a 7-day workout with a sports theme, but it's a workout to drive the scripture home every
wow.
day you're reading it
wow.
and you're repeating it. So my goal is by the end of each week, you have a new scripture memorized in your heart. Another
yeah.
scripture, your word is hidden in my heart, so I won't sin against you. Your word is a light to my path. So at the end of the book, conceivably, you have 52 new scriptures hidden in your heart and mind to take with you for the rest of your life.
Wow.
Following that path.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, on the I was in the car today with my daughter. She rode in with me to the office and we were talking about how life brings sudden change.
Mm.
And we have to be ready for whatever sudden change it is. You know, in football, it was a turnover. An interception is a sudden change. And I think at a very young age, whether it's in sports or outside of sports, I think what you have really written is, I think it's phenomenal to the place where it's really teaching these kids, hey, even with the sudden change, God still has a plan for my life.
God is in control.
He's still in control.
With that. Mm-hmm.
He has
mm-hmm.
a plan for my life. Guys, we were talking about, and we were thinking about how parents' actions off of the track or off of the field or away from the wrestling mat, how it affects their children while they're performing.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen so many crazy parents. Talk to me about that, Tanya.
I was one of them. Unfortunately, I was one. I can remember yelling the entire soccer game from beginning to end at my child on the field, to the point that every game they would be in tears crying. I've had my daughter come back to me after track saying, you treat me one way when I play well, but you treat me a different way when I don't do well.
Wow.
And almost like you're anticipating that car ride home. They know if they played well or not, but anticipating that car ride home, what mom and dad are going to say based on my performance. And then again, that ties wow. in. I'm treated a certain way based upon how I perform. And that's what us as parents are teaching our children, that your value is on how you perform when we respond that way.
So it's a performance-based relationship.
Yes.
I've yeah. seen it. I have coached over 25 years, even coached my son. And when he was a kid, when he was a baby, I tried to. Matter of fact, I did. I had other coaches on the stick. I learned from a cousin of mine. Had other coaches talk to him. I wouldn't talk to him. And then after the game, I said to myself, the other kids are allowed to go home with their dad. Mm. I am not going to be his coach at home. He should be able to go home with his father as well. So yeah. You know, but it is, and I know we as parents listening, you want your kids to do their best, but it's a fine line with this performance-based, I love you based on a performance type thing.
Yeah, and the fact that you were intentional about knowing that, that's the first step. Is realizing yeah. that, and I know it wasn't easy because I've said it plenty of times, I'm not going to yell or I'm not going to say yeah. anything, and you still slip. It's something inside that you're not perfect. But just knowing that and working at it, just working at it, knowing this can be impacting for the rest of their lives. What you're doing now can have an impact on the rest of their lives if you realize the damage and hopefully something that you can change to be something that's uplifting and change them for the better once you're aware of it.
Yeah. And let me tell you this, right? Because my son's going to be upset I even brought this up. I coached the same high school team he played on. They asked me to come up when they recruited him. Now, he was a linebacker. I wasn't even around him. I coached the defensive backs. I didn't see him. I wasn't the defensive coordinator. I didn't see him all as much. By his second or third, going into his third year, or second year high school, he asked the head coach to fire me. He asked the head coach, can you fire my dad? Now, I said, I don't even talk to you. But maybe I had some energy there that I shouldn't have. I don't know. But they didn't fire me. But even the head coach started laughing like, you are the first kid that ever came in here and asked me to fire their father.
They want a dad, right? They want you to be dad.
Yeah.
They want you to be their coach.
So during the games, they would have me up in the booth. I was never on the sideline. I was never on the side, and but I think we as, and I watch it and you watch it. And like I said, we may have been those type parents. And I think what we do in that, are we teaching our children that every relationship should be performance-based now, even outside the field? Like I love you if you get A's, but I hate you if you get an F.
Because we do that as well. We post on social media all of, I say, the highlights of our lives. So
yeah,
when that child does get honor roll or when that child does something well, or you see it all the time, awards, we love, and that was me. We love to post all the great things because it's a reflection on me as a parent. Now I'm doing a great job because look what my child is doing.
Yeah, yeah.
On that flip side, when your child maybe is an average student or maybe is struggling,
yeah.
How are we treating them then? Are you treating and responding that same way for that straight A report card that you are for that child's giving all they can, but the best they can pull up with is B's and C's?
I wish you were more like your sister. I wish you were more like your sister.
It's a tape in their minds. And if you keep saying it, they're going to keep hearing it. And they're going to be 30 and 40 years old still hearing what you said when they were 12.
And they'll have animosity toward the sibling. And if they're not careful, because they focus on that, they're going to raise their kids the way they were raised. Uh-huh. Oh, we have so much work to do, but I thank God for authors like you.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank God for authors like you who are bringing that to our attention as parents. And parents, if you're listening on this podcast, listen, A, B, C, D, E, F, love them anyhow. Maybe they're playing a sport and they're just on the team and they're not the star. It's okay. It's okay. They are more valuable.
It comes from our hopes, right?
Yeah.
It comes from our hopes. They're somehow not exceeding or meeting our hopes.
Yeah.
And again, their creator, you don't know what God created them for.
Yeah.
And you could be moving them off track by pushing your hopes on them instead of what God has for them.
That's
so just
great.
Trust. So I go back to just trust God. Just trust God
for my life. Let me ask you this. Writing this book, talk to me about one of your biggest challenges in writing this.
Being able to explain the scripture 7 different ways. I'll tell you, at some point, like I had the 52 scriptures.
Yeah.
And initially it was just going to be that. I said, no, I want to dig deeper into this. So I had, and back then, I don't know why I didn't use my app, but I literally had physical Bibles of different versions of the scripture that I just wanted to keep reading different versions. Like, sure. How can I say this in 7 different ways? That's not redundant, not the same thing, but saying it in a different way each time to make sure it sticks and they can grasp what the scripture really means. So I'll tell you that going through that period of getting those workouts, that was trying for me, but I'm thankful because I even grew.
I was about to say, you can't, those of us who are believers, if you listen to this podcast, you know, you guys know I pastor a church and so a lot of my Christian friends come on and so if you spend any amount of time in the Word of God, He speaks to you. So I know you are growing as well as, you know, wow, I know this verse 7 different ways.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that's even as an adult this week, I've heard the scripture of the parable of the sower 4 different times in the last week. And, you know, us growing up in church, we've heard this parable, I don't know how many times,
but
God can bring revelation no matter the 100th time you read a scripture.
Yeah.
He can bring that revelation. It is true. It is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. His word is powerful.
So it took you how long to put this together? How long did it take you to put it all together, final edit? How long did it take you?
So this is another funny thing. I initially, before I did the 7-day workout, just the book and the devotions, that was a year. I submitted it to my publisher and she said, no kids are going to read this. I wrote it in my voice, you know, I wrote it in my intellectual voice. And she's like, the kids in the playground in New York, they're not going to get this. So I had to go back and rewrite in a voice that would be received by a child and not one that I would want to read at my age and my maturity level and things like that. So about 3 years total. So that first year, first writing the book, and then again, coming back and redoing the book in that different language, and then adding the 7-day workouts on top of that. So about 3 years total.
So you mean to tell me, and I want all the listeners and all the viewers, you need to get this. You mean to tell me that even though God planted something inside you, you still had to work it?
I still had to work it.
That what you're telling me?
I had to toil. I had to water. I had to all that.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. Right back to the parable of the sower, right? Yeah,
and then making sure again now that it's good ground, because that's the interesting thing is the seed, it's wasted unless it's coming in on good ground.
Right.
So making sure that even as I'm receiving and setting the tone that in a way that it can be received, it's not going to be choked up prayerfully and it's not going to be stolen, but in a way that it'll be received and can flourish with the reader.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are your girls doing now? Mom wrote the book 3 years behind them.
Yes.
What
and interestingly enough, so with that, like I said, she got her at 14, started writing at about 15. The book was released on my oldest daughter's 18th birthday last year.
Released
it on her. And so just, and it's dedicated to her, just a powerful tribute.
Yeah.
She's in college now. She's at Rutgers, doing amazing things there. And I often think, even now, if she had been on the path that she had been on and been training and doing all this for track, she would not be making an impact. She is the president of the NAACP there in Rutgers.
Wow.
And she just had someone email her, send her a message saying, I see what you're doing. You're making a space for Black students at Rutgers to come together and talk about positive things. And it's much needed in this university. And she was just like, Mom, look what somebody sent me.
And
for me, that was like a thank you, God moment.
Yeah.
Because you had a different plan. I had a plan. You know, as parents, we have plans that we want our children to accomplish. And sometimes being able to release our plan, like you're their God, you created them. You know exactly why you put them on this earth, and being able to let go of what we want for our children, release them to Him is a process.
But
now on this other side, I'm saying, God, you knew. So thank you. And I can see that now. So the next time I go through something, I may not understand why He has me going through this. I may not understand the pain I'm going through, but God, I saw you back then and I saw what you did then. And I'm going to trust in what you're going to do. I don't know what my future looks like, but you have a plan and you're trustworthy and you love me. So I know that I can trust whatever it is that you have in my future.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I always, in the middle of the program, where can we find the book? I want to push the product two or three times here today.
So my website is my name. So my HanyaMayAvent.com is my website. The books are there, but also Amazon, Barnes and Nobles. If you just Google Using God's Playbook for the Game of Life or my name, there you can get them there as well.
So wherever fine books are sold.
Wherever fine books are sold. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You had one book in you, but I know you're not done. What's next? What's going on?
So my ministry typically, and really not typically, but really intentionally is to moms. So I have Faith Filled Moms Ministry that I actually do a podcast on every Tuesday. We invite moms on. We talk about moms that are facing difficult seasons in life. So every month I have a topic that we talk about. So last month, January, we had moms who's had children with substance abuse that struggle with substance abuse, and they share their stories.
Okay.
Last night, we kicked off our new series with moms that have a brother who's passed away. We're talking all moms that have had a brother that's passed away. And what was interesting last night, even the guest that we had on, it wasn't a beautiful story. It wasn't that she had a beautiful relationship with her brother. It was a stormy relationship. And she even talked about struggling with even sharing about her brother and the way he passed. But on that podcast last night, there were so many people commenting about how they have troubled relationships. And what the beauty of this ministry is, we bring to the forefront conversations that are not had,
sure.
I say in polite conversation. Women are hurting. We've had cancer. We've had divorce. We've had loss of a spouse, loss of a child. A lot of things that we feel uncomfortable talking to other people about. And people are struggling by themselves, not being able to have an outlet to talk about. So my ministry is like to moms. Moms, I say, we're just people who we have our own issues and we have children. So we have children, but we're still struggling. We still have issues. So I really want to minister to moms, let them know that God is there. He's with you. He can be, again, the same common thing. He can be trusted.
Sure.
Whatever we're going through. God is.
Tell us the name of the podcast again. Tell us the name of the podcast.
Faithful Moms. So we have Moms Night in every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. We're on Facebook and YouTube. And faithfulmoms.org is that website. And you can
Faithful Moms.
Faith-filled.
Faith-filled moms. You guys get that? Faithfulledmoms.org.
Yes. We go live every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook and YouTube under Faithful Moms.
And I love it.
Powerful. Yes. Powerful
story. I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, you're doing such wonderful things. Now, let me ask you, where does this, I may know, but my audience needs to know how... Mm-hmm. When you heard God calling you again, I'm cheating because I have I have a front row seat. You have a front row seat to mine too. When you felt God calling you and into this, you know, a lot of people think that we just run right into it. A lot of people think that, you know, hey, God called, I'm immediately going to do it. Well, that may not be the case. When you felt God calling you, what was to do the things that you're doing now, which are so impactful to athletes, to moms and whatnot? I know you obeyed the voice of the Lord, but what did you do immediately when you heard it? What did you have to buckle down and do, Tanya?
I'll tell you, with that, I write for Guidepost Magazine. Do stories. And one of the stories, my first story was about her. And I shared with them on that. They did a video of me. And I remember I was crying out to God, why? How could you? Why did you allow this to happen? And his response was, because you'll use it for my glory.
Wow.
And that was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was it. So using all the pain that I've been through and pain that I see other people going through. And I always say these pains, whether it's anger, whether it's fear, anxiety, all those things, they're negative. And we may feel them for different reasons, but the emotion that we experience is all the same.
Yeah.
Right. So it's how it's a human emotion, but how do we work through it? And how can I use what I've been through and what I've learned through my diving into the Word of God and learned about His comfort, learned about everything that He has available? How can I share what I experienced in my pain to bring and lead someone else to their healing?
But you know,
say no more, God.
What do you say to the person who would rather just lay in my depression, lay in my woe is me? You know, that's good for you. But Tanya, we're made up differently. That's good for you. But you know, I think I just want to wallow in it. You don't understand. The last 5 years has been rough for me.
Uh-huh. it's work. I'm going to say work. And you have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Sure.
So you're going to stay wherever you want to stay as long as you can be comfortable enough. We can get comfortable in discomfort and in dysfunction, right? If we've been in dysfunction so long, if that's all we know, we can get comfortable in that.
Yeah.
And I say, I believe, again, humanistically, if you think of two things that we all strive for, we want peace in our lives and we want joy. Not necessarily happiness, but we want to have joy. And those are the two things. I always say peace is what you feel in your heart and your mind, really, because your mind is turmoil, but it's peace of mind and joy in your heart.
Yeah.
And to get to those two things, we have to do work.
Yeah.
And so if you're okay being depressed, if you're okay with what you're in, you can stay in it. But when you're ready, come see me.
Yeah.
Because I can, well, I got a man. I got somebody that I could, I could hook you up with. I can hook you up with him. So
I like what you said. Sometimes we can be in our dysfunction so long that when we come out of it, it doesn't feel normal.
No.
And we're afraid because now I just don't feel normal. Let me go back to my suffering. Let me go back to my struggle.
I can function in my dysfunction. I know how to function in it now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how to function in this new thing. I don't, at this new level, I've been praying the Lord for my breakthrough. Well, you got it. And now you don't know.
And now what? I got to work, right?
Yeah.
Now I got to work.
Yeah. So I think that definitely what we're are learning here today, I don't care how saved you are. I don't care. If you're on this planet, you're going to have to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to put in the work. Of course, it's our desire that everyone would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal and communal savior. You know, I would love that. But you got to put in the work. Gone are the days. And, I'm saved and everything's going to be all right. That's not the way it.
Many of the afflictions of the righteous, right?
Yeah,
You're going to face some stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to face some stuff.
Yeah.
And I just want to be able to walk along aside and show that through whatever you're facing, we can still have joy. Mm-hmm. We can still have peace.
Yeah.
Things can be crashing down all around me.
Yeah.
But if I know him and connected to him, I can still walk with peace and joy in my heart.
Amen. Let me ask you, do you journal?
I do. But I'm a journaler on my phone. And Ralph, if you can see my phone, I read. I read a lot. Right now I'm reading Forgiving What You Can't Forget. I'm reading a book about redeeming your time management. And I just keep notes. I'll keep my phone and notes and anything the Lord is downloading in my heart, right on the phone. So I'm not so much of a writer, but on that phone, I'm typing away just to make sure I'm capturing it and reviewing. And absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's important to keep a journal, no matter how you keep it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important so we can look back and we can see some of the things that we may have complained about. You know, we know the saying, think of your worst day. You made it through that. So far, you are undefeated when it comes to bad days. When it comes to bad days, you are undefeated right now, I think that journaling really allows us to kind of see where we came through. And I always like to ask my writers that. I always like to ask them, what's up with them? What are they doing? How they exercise the gift? We're excited. I'm so excited about this book, about this playbook. Where have most of the sales been going? Is it in high school? Is it in college?
It's high school, but I probably have the same amount of adults that are reading as they open it up, pick it up. If I'm vending or somewhere else, they'll read it. And even again, it's written in, and a lot of times, even when we read, something can be simplistic and simplistic terms helps us understand.
Sure.
I've had a lot of adults even pick it up and say, I need to go through this. I need this. I'm missing this foundation as well. But again, many times it's parents that are picking it up for their high school. Few college, but mostly high school students. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you. Already told me. I was going to ask you. What are you reading now? And you already told us what you're reading now.
Yes. I have a book a month, so I have books each month.
Okay.
I'm fasting one, so I'm fasting from those things that I desire that aren't always healthy. So this month of February, I'm fasting from sugar. No sugar while I'm reading. And so what I do to make sure that I'm reading and staying on it, I cannot have any sugar in February until I finish the two books I've designated for myself. And then from there, I'll give myself cheat days. So that makes sure by the end of the 12 months, I've gotten through those 24 books that I've designated to read for myself.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
No, I need some motivation. Because that discipline, I need something along with it.
That's great. That's great. Let me ask you this before we go. I often like to ask my guests this question. If you could have a billboard anywhere, where would it be and what would it say?
Times Square, just trust God.
You must have been listening to my podcast. Times Square and
Just Trust God. So that Just Trust God.
I love it. Tanya, thank you for being a guest on this podcast.
Thank you for
just sharing a few moments of your time and inspiring us. And I think the work that you've done and the work that you're doing is phenomenal. Guys, go out and get this book.
Yes.
It's called The Team.
Using God's Playbook for the Game of Life. Yes.
Using God's Playbook for the Game of Life. See that right there? Yeah. You can find it anywhere fine books are sold. Tell us your website one more time. It'll be in the links, everybody. It'll be in the links, but tell us your website.
Tanya May Avent, TonyaMayAvent.com.
You can find her podcast is there. Yeah. Listen,
faithfilledmoms.org.
Faithfilled moms. Listen, if you are looking for a community where you're going to grow and thrive and find some sisterhood because we can't do it at home.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you check out my dear sister, Tanya?
Yes, we would love to have you. We call it Mom's Night In because we need a night just for ourselves.
Oh, it's Mom's Night In.
Mom's Night In is the name of the podcast. So Faithful Moms, but Mom's Night In is every Tuesday night we have Mom's Night In where we talk.
Why don't you move it to Monday night so dads can watch the football? So we can watch the football game while y'all
Mom is doing her thing, right? It won't matter now. It'll be over after this Sunday. We're done for a while.
Yeah. You're right. But thank you so much, my friend.
Yes.
Thank you for making this a great podcast. Thank you for sacrificing your time. Again, thank you for what you're doing. Guys, you've been listening to The Unstoppable Podcast. My name is Ralph Graves Jr. I'll see you next time. God bless everybody.
Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Unstoppable. If you like this show, my only request is that you share it with someone you know who needs to hear it. A huge part of the journey of success is doing it in community. So I want you to share this episode with a friend of yours. And if you want to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me a DM on Instagram at Ralph Graves Jr. with one thing you loved about this episode, and I will make sure to give you a shout out. I'll see you next week on Unstoppable.